WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Uso! Hey, hey, main event Jey Uso is now in your city! It's just me, Uso! Okay, day one, it's just me, Uso! Day one, it's just me, Uso! Okay, day one, it's that a lot of more love and knock them down like this!
I did. Hey, it's on me now.
It's Sunday night, and that means it's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live. Chat, just keep spamming it and spamming it and spamming it until we do it. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
It's just us, Oos. Day one-ish.
If you're not at twitch.tv/WTR live, just go there. Go there now. Just spam it. Because we are also joined by the one and only Tim Stein.
You know, it works really well if you unmute, so I'll unmute and say hi.
Hi. Just everyone in chat, just keep spamming it away.
Why are they doing that?
Because I told them to.
Because of one particular reason.
There is one particular reason why we're spamming it in the chat. That's right.
I hope my face haunts your dreams. All of your dreams. It's but realistically, that's hilarious.
It's the one and only Keishi Matsunaga's back.
He's the only one that actually has his face as part of the network.
time for WrestleMania season.
He's back. Yes. But yes,
and you're focused on all the clones of your face in the chat room. You said SFA about your special return music.
What are you talking about? I was just waiting. It was beautiful and everything that I could have dreamed of and more.
So
this has been a very, very happy welcome back, and I appreciate it.
I have a very important question for Rock.
Yes.
So if Keishi only shows up around WrestleMania season, does that mean he's the network's Undertaker?
Ooh. Well, I stay longer.
He stays longer, yeah. He's
So he's more Randy Orton.
I'll take that.
Okay. Yeah, he's got Randy.
He's got the Randy schedule where he'll be around for a bit, and then he takes the long hiatus, and then he'll come back for, like, the major things.
So do we call him KKM?
Keishi Matsunaga?
Keishi K. Matsunaga, as opposed to RKO.
It doesn't ring the same.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, no.
It doesn't, no.
And for right now, at least Keishi has a scheduled appearance for WrestleMania, unlike someone else, which we're still waiting to find out.
Very true. But yes, we're here to talk two nights of WrestleMania to preview it all. We have 13 matches, with a 14th probably coming at some point during the week, at most likely.
We will see who... We will see who is involved with that 14th match fairly soon, hopefully.
Most likely on Friday. So, There is that. But yes, we're all back together for WrestleMania season. To preview this show, we're going to kick it off by talking about the World Tag Team titles being on the line when the War Raiders defend against the New Day.
God damn it, Rock, you're not going in the order we did last night.
I'm going off the order that's listed on Wikipedia.
I understand, but you had a certain order which I based the sheet off of, and now you fucked with it.
Because they changed Wikipedia.
It's fine, yeah, I can jump around, we're good.
How long have you known Rock for? How long have you been doing stuff with him on the interwebs?
It's what? 14 years now?
Something like that. The only thing changed was Wikipedia changed. That's where we're going off of.
It's a scary thing is that it's actually 14 years now.
It is 14 years now.
Because 13, I went... I remember I started listening, I think, around 2011's Royal Rumble. Was that the 40, man?
You're asking the wrong person. It's been forever.
Okay. Because I know attended 13, I was already associated with the network by that point.
There you go. So anyway, War Raiders, New Day. Titles on the line. What are your thoughts, Keishi?
I think it'll be interesting to see, like, how the New Day works a big match like this as a heel team, but, like, not like the heel teams that they've been in the past where they're kind of, like, goofing around, but the serious personas of Kofi and Xavier are kind of, like, a welcome change to the group. So I think it'll be interesting because, I mean, obviously these guys have wrestled each other before. The thing, it was a little bit different with the Raiders kind of being the bad guys and the New Day kind of not. So I'm excited to kind of see how they work this. I've always been a fan of the New Day, and the Raiders can do some pretty amazing things for their size. So the match will be good. As far as the winners, I feel like I think it'd be nice for them to have it just so they can, like, show the people that they don't need Big E and get booed even more. I like that just for the fan reaction. So I'm going New Day.
And in some ways,
for the fan reaction.
That would solidify their heel turn.
Yeah. It would, like, make them legit and be like, see, we don't need E and we don't need any of you. And just the ruckus of boos will come from that, and yeah, we'll legitimize them at, you know, not just fun loving New Day guys, but yeah, like, we're here for real and seriousness, and we made the right choice.
Agree, Brent, that's the right choice.
I think in this case, so we've seen the New Day turn, and I'm gonna be honest, at when it very first happened, I kind of was like, I don't know if this is the best idea. New Day is a really good moneymaker for you all, and I don't know how it's gonna go over as heels. And for a while, they weren't really doing anything, if we remember. They were just kind of there. But they've been slow building this heel turn, and it's really kind of taken hold. And honestly, I think them doing something underhanded to beat the larger War Raiders here would be really good for them, because what I'm seeing on the Monday Night Raw right after WrestleMania is Kofi and Xavier coming out and with the most evil smiles they can do, just for 5 minutes going, we told you. We told you how good we are, and you all booed us, and look, now we've got these. We don't need any of you anymore. We've proven how good we are. And the fans will just boo the ever-living shit out of them, and it will be a great segment. Ultimately, what I would love is for them to do that, and then the thing that will cost them the titles down the line is Big E. Like, they try to cheat, and he just comes out and stops it. Not in a fully physical way, but, like, they're trying to grab a chair, and he just grabs the chair and is just like, nope. And they get pissed off, and then that ends up costing them the titles further down the line. I would love to see that kind of moment as well. But I think in terms of WrestleMania, New Day needs this. The War Raiders can always fight to get it back, and the War Raiders, I think, are going to have a really cool WrestleMania entrance. But New Day needs this more then the War Raiders would need a Mania win in this instance.
Tim's been grumbling. Why the grumbles?
I wouldn't really call it grumbling. There are a couple of points raised that I would have an issue with. However, basically, I can't add much of anything else that my two esteemed colleagues haven't voiced. The only hemming and hawing that I have is Big E eventually costing them the title. That would necessitate a beatdown of Big E, which, yeah, sure, that would even go further in making Xavier and Kofi even more, you know, hated. But at this point in time, this is not something that you want to play around with Big E, is any kind of a beatdown. Yeah, I know that they'd be safe and wouldn't, like, hurt him for real and stuff like that, but nowadays, just the way everything is, the optics would be a little bit too much.
Well, I never said that they would have to beat him down. I was just saying he would get involved. It would be almost like an announcer keeping a chair from someone. It doesn't precipitate the fact that they have to get bludgeoned. Adam
I'm the one who brought up necessitating the beatdown. That's just booking. You can't have this guy cost you your titles and not attempt some kind of retribution for it. And your scenario, Big E comes out and costs them the titles, just by not letting them be heel. And if they don't beat him down, you know, it's like a 25-year-old fighting a 60-year-old. You lose no matter what. If you beat him up, hey, you beat up a 60-year-old. Woo! If you lose to him, you're like, aha, you got beat up by a 60-year-old. It's an Owen scenario. But that said, I'm picking New Day to get the titles.
Okay. So to add to that, there's a lot of magic tricks you could do backstage for a beatdown where he just appears to be down and they walk away. Just saying, magic works backstage.
He could yes. Gig himself in his forehead like Christopher Daniels did.
And then get countdown 5, 4, 3, 2.
Right, and go. Oh, and, shit, it's already rolling.
So everyone's leading New Day in that one. It is Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano.
Venti Latte. Thank you.
Hilarious.
What are your thoughts on this one, Brent?
Okay, this is going to sound horrible to say, but I think it is accurate, and you all can either chastise me for it or say that I'm right. This, honest to God, is the most personality Chad Gable has had since he's come into the WWE. I know that he had a little bit with American Alpha, or with Alpha Academy, but it's like, this is really kind of taking it up a notch, and it's the same thing with Juan Cena back in the day. Everybody knows. And of course, even on TV, everybody knows. But they're still playing it up well, and it's kind of like, normally it's like, oh, I can't beat these luchadors, what do I do? And it's like, in this case, what does he do? He creates a lucha personality, and has now been able to fight underhandedly with, you know, the likes of Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio and the LWO. The All-American Gang, as I would call them, are they still, like, great buys? No. But at least, like, Gable has a little bit more of that personality to go with the, I don't think is debatable, a really good in-ring wrestling style, amateurish, with, you know, with a dash of high-flying now, mostly a loaded headbutt. But with this, it's just kind of like, okay, you know you're going to get a good performance out of Gable. Ray's gonna perform well on a large stage. Then again, remember, he's also in his mid to late, what, late 40s now? So, and he's running on, I think, his fifth set of knees or hips or whatever.
Yeah.
But Gable will be able to help kind of throw him around. He'll be able to, you know, let Ray get the big spots in. And I think this is gonna be one of those good kind of mid-card matches where you look at it and it'll fill maybe like 12 minutes and you're like, okay, cool. Like, it was a good match. I don't think we're going to say it was a bad match. I don't think we're going to be like, this shouldn't have been on there. I think we'll be entertained, but it'll do its job.
Who wins, though?
Part of me is looking at this going, you can't really extend the Grande Americano past the luchadors. And you're getting to that point where it's like, Rey Mysterio is the Luchador. Unless you move Chad and them to SmackDown and face off against the new set of Luchadors. Because Penta's busy with some other stuff. I don't think you're going to put Penta with Chad. Well, you've already done that. That's what precipitated a lot of this. I think you get Rey here because he'll do the unmask. Like, towards the end of the match, he'll pull the mask off. It's Chad Gable. And you'll have, you know, even Wade Barrett would probably just be like, wait, I didn't know! And it's like, okay, fine. We all know. And Rey can pick up the win here.
I mean, yeah, there isn't much that I can add to that. I feel like there'll be something where they discover the loaded mask, which will cost some, like, maybe Rey Mysterio unmasks El Grande Americano and he, like, hides his face even though everybody sees it, and that costs him the match. I don't mind seeing shenanigans like that, but I feel like just based on everything leading up to this and all of the, like, shenanigans and sneakiness that he's done thus far, I feel like Rey gets the win here.
Okay, well, what do you think, Tim?
Well, it's been amusing and somewhat entertaining, but does it really have any legs at all after WrestleMania? That's the question. By the way, Rey Mysterio's 50. It's like a one-trick joke, and it's not the first time they've ever done this, as it has been pointed out. And it won't be the last time they'll wind up doing this. But none of the previous times they've ever done this has ever had any kind of real longevity to it, because it's like a one-trick pony. It's like National Lampoon making a movie out of one joke. It doesn't work for the entire thing. I don't think I would hate it too much if through nefarious means Gable, or I'm sorry, El Grande Americano actually wins at WrestleMania. But the next Spring Beam Live event, they have to have the rematch, and the second he takes the loss, you know, he loses the mask. This is a tough one to call. Like I said, I wouldn't have a problem if they stretched it out one more month, but after WrestleMania, where do they go?
So the official pick is,
begrudgingly and hedgingly, I'm going to say Rey unmasks Gable and puts an end to this crap at WrestleMania.
All right.
It is Jade Cargill taking on Naomi. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is going to be a fun feud, fight, match, whatever you want to call it. This entire thing is, you know, like, take out Jade because Naomi's jealous of her. Don't think that Jade comes out on top in this one, and I don't know that she loses clean. But when I said, you know, like the previous match we talked about, I don't see it having legs past WrestleMania. This one I do. I see this one having legs, and they can really go a lot further with this story. And I don't think I'd be the only one here saying I want them to keep going with this, because so far it's been pretty good. So I don't really want to say Naomi gets the win, but I'm going to say Jade doesn't.
Okay. Cage, what are your thoughts?
I do agree with Tim that this has legs and can go on a little bit longer. Only because, like, yeah, they haven't really gotten... How am I trying to put this? I think it could go like a three-match sort of thing with a rubber match at the end to kind of draw it out. It could do that, mostly because they've just been kind of... Jade's been kind of attacking Naomi here and there, and there's been just brawls and back and forth, so no actual matches. So I think this match is a good way to kind of, like, fully solidify Naomi as a heel by doing something dastardly to kind of sneak a win out of Jade, especially with Jade being kind of more of a... quote-unquote veteran, whether you say that's a veteran of, like, WWE or I mean, not a veteran, Green. Naomi's the veteran compared to Jade.
I was gonna say.
I figured it out eventually.
You elevated Jade.
Yeah. But Naomi, like, that doesn't mean that, you know, Jade doesn't come out looking good in this match, even though she kind of takes a sneaky loss. But I think they use the, like, she's a rookie compared to Naomi, and Naomi knows what she's doing, and so she got sneaky and, like, went, like, really solidified herself as, like, a heel, and this has legs. So, yeah, Naomi sneaks out a win.
Are you on the same in the same camp, Brent?
Honestly, I think Rock knows when this first kind of came about, I was not necessarily a fan of this being a Mania match because I wasn't sure Naomi in a heel persona would be able to quite make this feel like a bigger match. I know Naomi had been a heel before with like the bad stable back with Sasha, but she always felt kind of like a, I don't know, outskirt character for that. You know, it didn't feel good, but holy shit, the ways in which they have presented her after Elimination Chamber has completely shifted the view of this match, at least to me. When Naomi's had the kind of new persona and it's like, you know, yeah, she's had like the caution tape. She's had, you know, what was it, razor blades in her hair this past week, decorative. They've changed her look, they've changed her style, and they've given her this angry edge, which has taken it up a notch. And I think for that, you've now really kind of elevated this kind of personal element that this feud really needed. Because before that, it was Jade, Bianca, and Naomi, you know, they're BFFs. Look, they were in the six-woman tag at Last Mania, and they've been the women's tag champions and all of this. They're all together. And it's like you start to realize that it's like, yeah, Naomi, at least for this storyline, has been jealous. And, like, she essentially took Jade's spot. Now, does Bianca become part of this later on? I know that she just kind of stepped aside and let Jade go a couple of weeks ago on SmackDown, but I'm wondering, like, because Bianca's involved in the world title feud, if things don't happen at Mania, does she get introduced back into this and take it, you know, even further? Ultimately for this, what I could see happen is you still want Jade to come on strong because it's the way you've been presenting her before her injury and all of this. You want Naomi to be able to kind of grow in this heel persona because you don't want her to turn heel for this and then all of a sudden just languish, because that won't be helpful. I think what's going to happen is you have a very personal match at Mania, and what I would do is Jade gets too heated during the match. She's trying to just get revenge on Naomi so much that it's like, you know, maybe she tries to get a chair. Maybe she tries to do something and the referee just distracts her for a moment. And that's when Naomi, as a veteran, takes advantage and hits, you know, either a finisher or rolls her up or does something to steal the win here. Because like everyone's been saying, what you want to do with this is you still want Naomi to be able to continue. You still want Jade strong. If Naomi steals a win here, you can move this on to whatever the next thing is, and or if you do want to introduce Bianca into it, you keep the story going that way. Because if Jade wins here, how do you continue it aside from just, okay, Naomi just continues to beat her down, and then but that loses something in the story, because Naomi's already lost. So I'm going Naomi picks up the win here at Mania.
The United States title is on the line. LA Knight defends against Jacob Fatu. Is this the time Jacob Fatu gets his first singles championship in WWE, Casey? Or go with Brent?
Yeah.
Is this Casey? What do you think?
When it comes to this, I mean, LA Knight has held the U.S. title before. LA Knight's had the title before. You've been promoting Jacob throughout this past year as being this unstoppable beast. And I mean, he's picked up a loss here and there, but even when, like, Braun Strowman won the last man standing against him that one time, it took everything to put Jacob down, and even after that, he was still essentially, like, getting up. I think for this, and I think for what's happening with him and Solo, if he wins the U.S. title, that gives him something more, because Solo's never had a title on the main roster, and he wanted to assume the, you know, the head of the bloodline. But Solo, you know, in order to be the head of the table, kind of have to win, and you kind of have to have meaningful wins. And he hasn't really had that, and you've seen the friction between him and Jacob in the recent weeks. So I think if Jacob picks up the title here, it really does give you that kind of moment of Solo's trying to bark orders, and Jacob just goes, no, I have this, I'm in charge, and it moves whatever you want to do forward. And you can always have LA Knight chase as well, because as we know, he's probably a better chaser.
So you're officially going Jacob Fatu.
I'm going to go with the Samoan werewolf.
I think he's unmuted this time.
He sure is.
What are your thoughts?
I agree with Brent. Jacob needs a win, like a significant title win here, to sort of like basically back up all everything he's been saying since he's basically since he started talking. So like, yeah, getting a belt around his waist will kind of be like that first step in the right direction of being like, this goes to show like I'm winning. Here's why. This is why I'm making that step forward to be the head of the table now. And we'll see how Solo reacts, how Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa react. See if that's like they see him slowly ascending that throne. And instead of just kind of like inserting himself and talking, now he's backing it up. And, you know, like we say, LA Knight getting on the mic chasing a title always seems to be a lot more interesting than him having one around his waist.
You agree, Tim?
I think that I do, yeah. I've got absolutely nothing extra to add at the moment about this, but I totally echo what Casey said.
So you're going Jacob Fatu then?
Correct!
All right. Tiffany Stratton takes on Charlotte Flair for the WWE Women's Championship. Casey.
In my head, this can go either way. In my heart, I want Tiffany to keep that title. I don't know. I'm just kind of still, like, even though she's been gone a long time and she came back, Charlotte Flair...
does nothing for you?
Does nothing for me. And, I mean, that's not talking bad about Charlotte Flair. She's a great wrestler and she's got the skill to back it up, but she's kind of gotten to that like John Cena, Triple H, I've won so many titles that it's kind of like she's kind of like become the Yankees of women's wrestling. Everybody kind of doesn't want to see her have a title anymore. Does that mean, I mean, this match is going to be fantastic? And I'm very much looking forward to seeing Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair. That is by no means why Charlotte does nothing for me. This match is going to be awesome. I just don't know what more Charlotte Flair can do with a title around her waist, except say a lot of the same things that she's been saying for a number of years.
So
speaking of saying things.
So
yeah, that one too.
So, with all that analysis, you're going Charlotte wins, right? That's what I'm basing on.
No, I'm going with my heart on this one, and Tiffany Stratton will keep that title, and hopefully Charlotte Flair will give the young upstart champion a little bit of a quote-unquote rub, as they say in the business.
So, Brent, question. When you look at this match and you look at Charlotte Flair as the challenger in this match, and they're booking her as a heel, they had the they had the easiest opportunity to tell a story of a comeback. It was right there in front of their feet, but they chose not to because the crowd shit all over her inspirational story. Because what she actually is coming back from is a big deal.
Well, yeah, she basically blew out her entire leg.
Yeah, and yet the fans don't care. Why?
You want my honest answer?
Yes.
Because it's Charlotte. I hate to say it like that, but Charlotte, her entire career, her entire run has been, you know, she's the queen, she's, you know, the pinnacle, everyone's beneath her. She's had this air of arrogance. The comeback story that you're talking about, Rock, the best way I can describe it is that's a Dusty storyline. That's not a Flair storyline. The problem with Ric Flair is with him as a face, it's because he was quirky. You know, he would do the slapping of the shoulders and the strut and the elbow drop onto his jacket on the mat. And like, that's when the fans loved him, was when he was kind of crazy. When it's Rick being Rick, it's really hard to get behind someone that talks about, you know, they're the limousine riding, you know, jet flying, space mountain, woo, I can bed 14 women in a single town kind of guy. Because you just kind of go, you're arrogant as fuck. With Charlotte, I hate to say that she's a one-trick pony in her personality. It's just, I'm the queen, bow down before me. And with this, they've given her a bit of an edge with, like, her beatdowns of Tiffany and some of the stuff. But also, how much of that is what they want and how much of that is they kind of had to adapt to? certain talking points that came out and other things. The biggest problem I have here is in going into WrestleMania with Charlotte Flair facing a young upstart. We've seen historically it doesn't go well. Charlotte versus Asuka, Charlotte wins, and it derailed Asuka. Charlotte versus Rhea, Charlotte wins, slightly derails Rhea. And now we get Charlotte versus Tiffany. And I'm right in the same camp as Keishi, where I'm like, I really want Tiffany to win. And I think if Tiffany picks up a win at WrestleMania against Charlotte, that is something that really kind of goes, this is one of our new people. This is one of our new stars. Part of me wants Tiffany to win here because I think it can do so much to help her. And yet, it's hard for me to look at history and all the stuff that's happened, and especially with just the way that Charlotte is and how much everything is wrapped up in her being the queen, and not feel like there's been some like strings pulled or something where it's going to be, well, Charlotte wins. But I have a feeling if Charlotte does win, it's not going to get the reaction, a good reaction from the people. I have a feeling it's going to turn into what Keishi has talked about of just Charlotte fatigue, and everyone goes, Jesus Christ, she has the belt again. She cashed in her Charlotte in the bank. We're fucking tired of this. So ultimately, all logic points to Charlotte, but I want to go with my heart here. I want to go with the fact that Hunter would just recognize and go, we need to have Tiffany. Now, if Tiffany wins and then she goes into ultimately, you know, NXT Tiffany style persona, cool, but it's still something different. If Charlotte wins, I feel like we're just locked into, fuck, Charlotte has the belt. So I'm going to go with my heart and Tiffany because I just think it's the better thing to do overall.
Oh, I'm totally backing Tiffany on this one. And what the two guys said about Charlotte, well, I was saying that before it was cool to say it. So I'm sick of Charlotte. It seems like she goes away, she comes back, wins the title. She goes away, she comes back, she wins the title. I get it. That's not the case every single time, but the perception is there. And now she's come back, and everybody is like, oh, great, Charlotte's back. She's going to win the title. Oh, yeah. It'd be a nice little swerve if Tiffy retains it. The only issue is, did Tiffany go off script?
I think they've all gone on. They've all gone off script.
Yeah, going on that little promo, right? We all know back when a certain individual is in charge, by doing something that was upsetting to one of your bigger stars that you favored would get you punished one way or the other. I don't see it quite happening with the new regime, especially seeing as the guy in charge got shit on because he was the only one that could get shit on.
So who's your pick?
So I'm saying Tiffy.
All right. You need to fix your microphone. It's getting really bad.
Again, it was working fine.
It's really crackling.
It hasn't worked fine all stream. It's been making noise the entire time. So as he gets that situated,
how's that?
For now, it's okay. We'll see in a minute. Gunther battles Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship, and while it's silent, Tim, what are your thoughts?
We all know how I feel about Gunther. He said, pronouncing it properly, like very few people bother doing. I'm a huge fan of Walter Gunther, whatever you want to call him. The moment is with Jay right now, and even if it's only till SummerSlam, he's got to be grabbing that title. I mean, it's his, especially with what they've been doing leading up to this point so far. I don't see Jay not winning that title.
Okay, so you're going Jay Uso.
Yeah.
Keish.
I'm mirroring Tim. Jay has so much momentum behind him with the fans and everything. I feel like they kind of have to give it to him. Not like they have to give it to him or else. If he doesn't win, it won't be the end of the world because it is Gunther and he was this super dominant Intercontinental champion. He's been this super dominant champion. So like if Jay doesn't win, I'm not going to be mad because it's Gunther. But if he doesn't, the wind is going to get taken out of his sails so hard. And I feel like it'd be detrimental for them not to capitalize on the fan backing and the popularity that he has right now, it would be just, I think it would be silly. So I think Jay will win.
Brent, are you eating?
I think the past 2 weeks have made this feud. Leading up to this, you had Jay, you know, doing the stuff with the fans, which is fantastic itself because it drew, you know, his popularity is drawing the fans in. They get, you know, they fully care about him. But the overall feud was missing something. And honestly, the beatdown of Jimmy and the promo that Jay cut this week made me really want to watch this. Before, it's like, cool, it would be a really cool match, and as we've said, Jay kind of needs it here. After these past 2 weeks, I'm like, I'm invested because we've seen the depths to which Gunther is willing to go. As much as he would try to attack Jay every time he was in a match, or would go after American Alpha and or the Alpha Academy, and Jay would come out to save them, you're kind of like, okay, cool, that's normal kind of stuff that happens. But that beatdown of Jimmy and just the zip-tying him to the ropes and choking him out just out of arm's reach was a brutal scene to watch because you're, as a fan, are wanting him to, you know, get to his brother. And then the promo this week, I think, really humanized stuff when he said, like, I wanted to help, but I'm afraid. I was afraid. And you had Gunther kind of standing there, kind of smiling, but then you had Jay turn that switch on and be like, but I'm not going to be afraid, and I'm going to pray for essentially what's going to happen at WrestleMania, and I'm doing it for me, I'm doing it for my brother, I'm doing it for everybody, and I'm going to just take your goddamn title. Because as we've learned, the one thing that Matt, because he couldn't get retribution on Gunther any other way. Like, okay, you go after Kaiser, that's not going to do anything to Gunther. He doesn't care. Kaiser's a subordinate, essentially. It wouldn't help for him to go after family because, well, he's a face anyway, and his family really hasn't been talked about on TV, so there's no connection there. But if you want to hurt Gunther the most, you take the title from him. Because everything Gunther is wrapped up in is being the ring general, you know, sacred, you know, the sacredness of the mat and all of that. But what happens if you beat him on the biggest stage and you take that belt away? It's like when Gunther lost at Mania to Sammy. He starts to question everything. And so in this case, this is where Jimmy can deal the heaviest blow, and he needs to cement himself as main event Jey Uso. He won the Royal Rumble in a surprise, but if he picks up the win here, all of that build that happened when he first faced Roman as a solo is pinnacled at that moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to yeet on Saturday when my pick is Jey Uso gets the World Heavyweight Championship.
And now to finish out night one of WrestleMania, it is the main event, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, and Seth freaking Rollins. Brent.
It's the battle for Paul Heyman's love! This triple threat was what was forecasted from Royal Rumble. It was teased even a little bit at Survivor Series. You've got three people who really just can't stand each other, and for some reason, Paul Heyman is in the middle of this love triangle. It is awkward. But so technically, he's going to come out with CM Punk at Mania, correct?
As of today.
So Paul has been the wise man for so long, for the past like 5 years. He's also been, you know, the Paul Heyman guy to CM Punk for even longer. You've got the weird thing though, with now the architect making a connection with Paul and essentially saying, you owe me a favor for not stomping him on Monday. So the question is like, where does this all lead? Because Roman has been wrapped up with Paul for the longest time since he's come back from the leukemia scare and becoming the head of the table. But I honestly think at this point, Roman has become good on the mic where he doesn't need Paul there as a backup, which is, I think, why you paired him with Paul initially, was Paul could be the spokesman, the wise man for the tribal chief, and could talk when he needed to. But Roman has taken this character to the point where he doesn't need Paul anymore. Punk, always good on the mic. I don't know if he necessarily needs Paul. And if he has Paul Heyman, I feel like he's going to have to start to trend heel more because that's just where it works. What I could see happen here is Paul hitches to Seth, and we get a change from the visionary to something new for Seth. Because he's been the visionary for a while. He's had the face run for a long time. He's kind of been hovering in some kind of in-between where he can be more agitated if need be, but maybe it's time for Seth to change it up a little bit, and Paul can do something for him. I know there's the rumor that maybe a fourth can get involved, but I really don't know or think if he will right now, and I don't know if in the current climate it's the best to have him involved, even though stories came out that he supposedly claimed he's retired, but I'll believe it when I see it. But ultimately, in this case, I think Paul screws both Punk and Roman and joins with Seth.
So you're going Seth Rollins. Kaish, what do you think?
That is interesting. That is an interesting theory. I like that.
I mean, with that, it just goes into the nature of Paul Heyman of, you can't trust him. He screws everybody over.
100%. It really could go either way here. I like what you say about, you know, it being time for Seth to kind of change things up. I think he's been running with the super fun clothing and over the topness for a while. It would be good for him to kind of change it up a bit. Having him align with Paul Heyman would be like a very good way to do it. None of these guys really need a mouthpiece, though. So this is probably one of the ones that I'm having the toughest time figuring out who would win, because all of them have a feasible reason to win, and none of them are gonna come out of this looking bad if they lose. Everybody's gonna come out looking good if they win. I don't think it's gonna be Roman. I think it's going to come down to kind of Rollins and Punk, especially if they go all the way back to when Punk first made his comeback and Rollins has been freaking out. And I mean, he's been doing that for years. But I feel like because it's a Mania match, for some strange reason, I think Punk is going to come out on top. I don't know if it's necessarily because of Paul or not. Mm-hmm. But like, you could still see Seth kind of like, if you look at the three guys in this ring, I think Seth will kind of lean more towards the heel, and maybe this is the match where he kind of like transitions over, and it's like, that's the match. You know, CM Punk might get the win, but I think Seth Rollins gets the last laugh. That's the way I'm going to call it. Is CM Punk wins, but he's not like standing tall. Rollins kind of gets one over on him after the fact, and then it kind of leads into furthering this feud down the line.
Brent, you brought something up that I had been playing with in my brain all week. Paul Heyman basically screwing everybody over and aligning with Seth. I see that happening. Who wins? I'm thinking Punk will win.
Okay, he goes with Punk. I think that's what we got out of that. We now move to night two. The women's tag team titles are on the line. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez defend against Bayley and Lyra, Valkyria, Kaish.
I don't know. Liv and Raquel, I mean, they've had those titles for quite a while. Lyra and Bayley, kind of like, I like the like veteran rookie dynamic that they have. This could go either way. I feel like, though, Liv and Raquel will retain. Maybe I don't. I'm thinking because Valkyria has the women's intercontinental title. Do they make her a double champion?
Champ.
Yeah. Or is it like, because there's that, this could be the like, one of the like catalysts of like falling apart of the new Judgment Day that also involves stuff with another match to be talked about later. So, I think Liv and Raquel retain. Due to shady dealings, mostly because of other outcomes that will happen later in the night.
Tim or Brent?
I would say for me, the bigger story in this match is what's been happening with Lyra and Bayley. And I think this match is something to further that while giving Liv and Raquel a match at Mania. Carrying forward, I think it's you wanted to put Liv on the Mania card. Her and Raquel have the belts, so you do the gauntlet match to find them a contender. But most of the story leading up to this has been Bayley and Lyra kind of having this good-natured back and forth in the matches. But you started to see hints of, like, is Bayley getting ready for something? Is frustration starting to mount for her for the role model? And I think something like this can tip that scale where giving Lyra the belt doesn't help her here because she already has the Women's Intercontinental title. And I don't think her being a champ does anything except make her work twice as hard. Liv and Raquel are just heat magnets already. And I think them having the belt in Judgment Day gives a very interesting dynamic to what's going on with that group. If the boys don't have something, but the girls do, and they have the ear of one person in particular, it can help steer and or claw apart what's left of that group. So I'm ultimately going Liv Raquel in this match.
Tim texts in Liv and Raquel for his gotcha. Pick. Sticking with the maybe Tim's going to try to talk because he keeps trying to unmute.
I keep testing the mic and I can see that it's making noise, but I can't troubleshoot the mic while we're doing this.
Okay, gotcha. There you go. Alright, sticking with that whole scenario, Bron Breakker is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Penta, Finn Bálor, and Dominic Mysterio, Keishi.
Ultimately, I think Bron Breakker is going to keep that title. I think that it will be because there will be some sort of miscommunication or animosity between Finn and Dominic that will, you know, one of them will inadvertently cause the other one to get torpedoed by Braun.
Mm-hmm. Please let it be Dom. Please let it be Dom.
I think from a fan perspective, I think that might be the way it goes. Where, like, you know, Finn, like, basically sacrifices Dom and does not feel bad about it whatsoever. And then I think, Penta will get a nice little WrestleMania showcase here, but I don't think he's going to be a big factor for the overall outcome of this match. They're not going to do anything to make him look bad. I think he'll have, like, a very good showing. But, yeah, ultimately, Braun's going to win, probably due to just the further falling apart of the two members of the Judgment Day.
Brian, do you agree?
Some logic would say this is the easiest way to put the belt on Penta because you could screw Bron Breakker out of it without him eating a loss. So I get that. However, in some of this, I agree with Keishi. I think part of this is we need some kind of resolution with the Judgment Day. We've seen the tensions building here. I think, again, Liv and Raquel having belts and having Dom's ear can be something. And the way I would do it is either Finn knowingly throws Dominic under the bus here to get split in half by Braun, or it accidentally happens. That's what they will point to on television is, look what he did. He cost you your shot at the title, which ultimately leads to Dom and the girls breaking Finn out. And Carlito somewhere in there. I'm guessing going with them, although him and Raquel is a weird dynamic. But normally, like I said, this match would be like, oh, you can have Penta sneak in, get the win, and not have to pin Braun. But I feel like in this case, yeah, have Braun fold someone in half, get the win, but then you can shine a spotlight on Penta for his first title win. Because I feel like him picking it up in this kind of manner deludes his first title in WWE. Whereas if he can defeat Braun himself at, say, the next pay-per-view, then what it can do is A, elevate Penta, and B, free Braun up to possibly move on. Because if he were to go for, say, a larger title, he has history with the current title holder. He can claim that I've beaten you, I should get a shot at that now. and it could give you that kind of first big angle outside of Mania for what may be the new champion. So I'll go with Braun here.
I want to try to say Tim?
Braun.
Okay, Braun Breaker. Tell you this Thursday why Dominic Mysterio should be the next Intercontinental Champion. Anyway, we move to...
If he is, I picked it. I picked it. At the very start of the year when we did our picks, I had someone winning the Intercontinental title. God, let it happen.
I'll tell you my theory on Thursday on the rack. Logan Paul, AJ Styles. Brent.
Oh, I hate Logan Paul. Just from sheer personality. The man has put in the work. He shows that he, you know, takes this seriously. Fuck, he has that kind of face that you just want to punch for no particular reason. And then he opens his mouth and gives you a reason. I think pairing him with AJ is a good showcase for Mania. AJ will help make this match look even better. They both have a good kind of... They can have a good wrestling match. They could have a good high-flying spot. I think this can all work out well. If AJ were to lose here, I don't think it harms him, but I think this is a match where you can send... You know, you can get everyone in a feel-good moment. Like, if this is around, like, Liv Raquel, if the heels win that one, this is a good kind of balance for that, where you're like, oh, AJ beat Logan Paul, and everyone's happy because Logan got his ass beat. Yay! But if Logan wins, I don't think it's going to hurt anything, and he gets to just keep being a complete... I can't say some of the words I want to for him. But... I'm particularly going to go for AJ on this one.
I am also picking AJ. I don't know how many times one man can cheat to win to quote unquote, like, be a legitimate wrestler. Not to downgrade like Logan Paul's in-ring ability or anything like that. It's just his whole thing so far is in order to beat some of the greatest wrestlers that WWE has, he's basically punched every single one of them with brass knuckles or had some kind of interference. And how many times can they go to that well before it gets old? And so I don't think anybody, regardless of his ability, I don't think anybody on the planet legitimately thinks Logan Paul can beat AJ Styles in a wrestling match. So I'm going to go for AJ Styles.
AJ, I do believe a win.
AJ Styles, it is a Sin City street fight. Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. Keishi.
Yeah. Big, meaty men. Mac and meat.
This is why we brought him back, folks.
Up and down the Vegas Strip.
This is why we brought him back for this segment alone.
These two are going to beat the crap out of each other, and it's going to be fantastic. This is a tough call. Both guys probably use a win. Neither one of them's gonna look bad with a loss with this caliber of match, with the type of match it is, because it's a street fight with the two men that are going to be fighting, and how everybody knows it's basically just like taking out Sheamus and inserting Damian Priest. These two are gonna beat the piss out of each other. It's gonna be fun to watch. I think at the end of the day, I think that coming out of this, Drew McIntyre is going to beat Damian Priest. I don't know if it'll be definitive, but I feel like McIntyre could use this more and kind of get that like sort of like long-term revenge, because Priest took advantage of CM Punk attacking him and costing him the title. So this gives Drew a little bit more of that, like, his attitude of, like, that he's had lately, talking about beating people. I think between the two, Drew can use the win more. Damien's not going to look bad. The match is going to be awesome as far as just beating the crap out of each other.
So I got a question for you from Lindsay in chat. Are they stripping on the strip while they slap meat?
Well, probably not so much Drew, because there isn't much there, but I think Damien will somehow get his top off, and there'll be for like a chop-a-thon / street fight review. Maybe Drew will come out with a bow tie.
There you go. Brent, what are your thoughts?
See, my big question going into this match was, is Drew going to honor the tradition of a street fight by coming out in, like, jeans? So that way you know it's not a regular match. You know he's there to just whip some ass. That's one of those things, like, whenever you see a street fight and they come out in their actual wrestling gear, you kind of go, "Oh." But when they come out, like, dressed like Dean Ambrose or something, that's when you're, oh, shit's going to go down.
Maybe he'll wrestle in a kilt.
He could. That would be hilarious. I would love if he was out there just, like, beating Damian Priest, like, in the pool at, you know, was it Treasure Island? Like, they're fighting on the freaking ship at Treasure Island in a kilt. I would fucking love it.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Just picture the visuals for you know, like, next year's Mania preview. All the crazy shit that can happen at Mania. I think in this, this is one of those where they've had the kind of personal feud, and, you know, whether Drew or not was happy with how things went at Royal Rumble and everything. Whoever's couldn't survive Drew on a pirate ship. I want to see it even more now because I just want Lindsay to have to cope with that. No, like, Drew and Damian have known how to build this. They've taken steps to make you kind of see that this was going to be elevated, especially after Damian put Drew through the car window or windshield, and nice little nod, CM Punk walked by.
Real glass, because it actually got into his eye.
Yeah, and Dave or Drew had the eye patch for a little bit, which furthered the pirate. Confirmed the idea. But just think, pirate Drew with an eye patch. It's even better. I think these two will be able to just give a really good street fight on a big stage like WrestleMania, because they both know what it, you know, what that kind of match takes, and they both have been involved in high stakes, no DQ street fight kind of matches. Ultimately here, I would say Drew gets the win because you can possibly, this is again, one of those matches where you can take it to the next as an undercard to help round out that next pay-per-view. So okay. Damian doesn't get the win at first, but he'll pick up the win later and round it out.
Drew, the Women's World Championship on the line, Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Bloody Ripley. Keishi.
Oh, this is another one of those, like,
this
really hard matches. Yeah, really hard to determine the outcome of this. Like, well, three former champions, three women who could benefit from the having the title back or keeping the title. That being said, because it's a triple threat match, and because Rhea's had that title for quite a long time, I think I'm going to lean to her not winning. Actually, you know what? Just, I have a gut feeling that they're going to allow Io to keep this title and get a Mania win. That is my gut feeling, and I would be perfectly happy with that, because Rhea doesn't need that title anymore. Bianca doesn't really need that title. If she doesn't win here, she can kind of help further along the program between Jade and Naomi, and I think Sky could use that, like, Mania retention to, like, really solidify her championship run this go around. So I'm gonna pick Io Sky.
Right.
I'm kind of in line with Keishi a bit in terms of, and especially with the way that this story has been told, Io has been written as an afterthought, or the story has been Io is an afterthought, and she's going to fight to prove that she is just as worthy, if not more so, being there because she is the champion. Rhea's in this match because it's WrestleMania, and you wanted a high-level Mania match for her. Bianca's in this match because it's WrestleMania, and you wanted a high-level match. I would argue her bigger storyline is Jade Naomi, and if you want to, you don't have her win here, but you have her win on the road to SummerSlam, and that's where you pay off a Jade versus Bianca, possibly for a title. But I think Io picking up a win here to prove, again, she's not an afterthought after she beats two of the biggest women in the company in one match. You know, it's not Chris Jericho winning the Undisputed title by beating two people in one night, but this could help legitimize her a little more, I think, in some eyes. And I think this would be an interesting kind of payoff from last year, where she, you know, she did the job for Bayley to give Bayley her WrestleMania moment. I think Io can win here and get her own.
All right, so it is Io, Rhea, and Bianca for the Women's World Title. Tim, who you got?
I've got Io, and yeah. It's a three way just so that the two bigger girls can take each other out to get Io the victory.
Okay. And then finally, the main event for the undisputed WWE Championship. It's Cody Rhodes and John Cena. Brent.
Just for the lulz, I want Cena to win here. With the new heel persona, the fact that Cody has held the belt for one full year from last Mania to this, plus just the fact of, like, I want to see what happens, quote, if John Cena ruins wrestling. I think that would be entertaining. Cody's had it for this entire year. He's gone through a bunch of people. I don't know if I want him to hold the belt for another, you know, couple of months, but this gives him some adversity that he has to overcome. It gives Cena and WWE the chance to really do what the Summer of Punk should have been. Cena becomes the Brock Lesnar, where it's like, you want to try and contend for the world title. We don't know if John's going to, is John only going to show up to the big shows? And if so, it's like, who do you put up against him to try and get the belt back? I think there's some real interesting things, and especially because it is such the antithesis of what we've expected from John Cena for 20 plus years. I think that would be so very interesting to play out. Plus, just picture the lasting image. You know, last year we had the really feel good moment, Cody surrounded by people holding that belt. Yay. And this one ends with, like, that serious face, John Cena just holding the belt up, looking at the camera, and it either cuts to black there or he just walks away.
Who was one of the people in that ring though?
John
Cena was in that ring. Celebrating with Cody 1 year ago, and now here we are. Cage, who you got?
I echo a lot of the sentiments that Brent said. I want to see John Cena win this title. I want to see what evil John Cena does with this title. As the kids may not still say, I want to see John Cena championship heel cook. I want to see what happens. I'm excited. It's fun. It was, yeah. Everything about it is great. It's like everybody wanted it so long, and he held out so long, and it almost was like the perfect time to do it. Everybody knew he was on his way out. Everybody thought it was just going to be feel-good John doing feel-good John things, and then out of nowhere, John's just like, ha ha ha, screw you guys. So good. I think it is going to be a fantastic way for him to wrap up his career. Also, I won't be mad if Cody wins the title. He had a very good year as champion. He went through a lot of trials and a lot of hard matches, or if you want to go along the road storylines. He's been through some hard times, but he could do a lot more if he loses the title now and either, you know, chases it. He's achieved that dream, so like, he can lose his title. He's not going to lose anything from it. He can chase the title. He can move on to other things. It's not going to hurt him at all. John Cena with that championship for the remainder of his like run is the more interesting way to go. And I want to see it so badly.
Keishi, I thought of a better ending. Visual image. When someone wins a title in WWE right now, what's the meme?
Pointing to the sign or raising the title?
Not Mania. What's this? Oh. What happens when someone wins a title? What's the long-standing meme for the past like year or two?
Oh, I don't remember.
Triple H.
Oh,
with the point. What if your lasting image from this WrestleMania is John Cena with the title on his shoulder and Dwayne pointing at him?
Yep.
And now it becomes, because Dwayne has become, you know, the final boss, the person from TKO, who's the guy that's going to ultimately unseat John Cena and get the point from Hunter? Because ultimately that's what this whole thing's going to be, is whoever beats John Cena, the 17-time world champion, should be getting a good rub out of it. Yeah. If John wins it here. So who becomes the person that gets that moment?
There you go. And Tim?
Does it make any sense for John Cena not to win?
Good triumphs over evil if John Cena loses?
No. Good does not always triumph over evil unless good is very, very careful. Evil gets the upper hand until good gets his shit together. Watch any movie. So Cena with one last run with the title. It won't be a long one. It's just ultimately at the end of his career when he gets beat and then has second thoughts about being an evil John Cena and the fans start to love him again and everything else like that winds up being a feel-good story to close out his last year.
I mean, in theory, it could only be an 8-month reign at best because he's already said he's done at the end of this year.
Yep.
When I say short, I'm not looking past SummerSlam, and even then, that's stretching it.
So there you go. That's WrestleMania. We will be back next Sunday to review both nights of WrestleMania whenever WrestleMania ends. We start off tomorrow night for the go-home edition of Monday Night Raw. Leading into WrestleMania, we'll talk about it when the show ends. The post-show will begin. Thursday night is Rack Live, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things WrestleMania. Friday, Dark SmackDown, probably around 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be here live, previewing WrestleMania via WWE 2K25. We'll be simulating all the matches around 10 p.m. Eastern this Friday. Then on Saturday, there was no CB Radio because the Rack Extra will be live to review WrestleMania Day 1. Whenever it ends, we will be live to talk all about it. And as I just said, we'll be back next Sunday to talk all things WrestleMania when the show ends. There'll be a go-home or a Raw After Mania post-show. There'll be the Rack Reviews Day 2 the following Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. That's all the coverage of WrestleMania here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunlight on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's on social.
I am. You can follow me at Flames Forums and just to have fun. God, yeah, I post several times a day about a whole bunch of different things. So pay attention. Take a look at what is the latest thing that I put up there.
Casey is the socialist person on the internets.
Yeah, you can go on Instagram and watch a video of me eating ramen out of a trophy I won from a battle royal.
Yay!
3 or 4 months ago.
There you go.
That is at Kyle Driver because I forgot to mention.
You got to put the say where the thing is. People go see it. Yeah, see all the things. Brent.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter @X Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. And yeah, be there on Saturday to talk WrestleMania Night 1 and all the craziness and everything that will probably go with it.
It's going to be a fun time. It's WrestleMania week. Chad, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, like it's huge, which counts, called Prime Gaming. Support Chad by clicking the purple rocket rectangular button below the screen. You use credit card Rocket Sock and a $4 item shop for Epic Games Circus, hashtag Epic Partner. We'll see you next Sunday. And all week long, along there is the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
The same reason y'all could love me is the same reason y'all condemn me. A man's measured by the way that he thinks. Not clothing lines, ice links, leather and minx. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge of self. So for now, Mark Breck is living life for wealth.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
WildTalkRadio.com.